God joy. They see it as the work of Satan. That's how far from God they were. You can't get more far from God than that. That's 180. His response to their self-righteous anti-evangelism was to unmask them as very far from God, very distant from God, knowing nothing of His glory and nothing of His joy. He explains what he's doing in three stories. The first one, verses 3 through 7, is a story about a man who finds a lost sheep. It's in a rhetorical question. I won't read it. But the end of the story is verse 7. Man goes, he finds the sheep, he rejoices with his friends because a sheep has value. Verse 7, I tell you in the same way, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Heaven rejoices over one sinner's repentance. They didn't get it. This was the work of God that brought him joy. Tells a second story about a woman who lost a coin. Again, that has value. She finds the coin. She calls her lady friends together. Rejoice with me, verse 9. I found the coin. The application, verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The point is, you are so far from God, you don't get it. God's joy is found in the salvation of one sinner. That generates joy in heaven. God is not waiting for 10,000 sinners to start the party. He's not waiting for 1,000 or 100 or 10. The celebration in heaven goes on over one sinner who repents. This is the point of the whole chapter, the joy of God. Now we come to the story I want you to look at with me, verse 11. But I need to tell you just a couple of things. This is a different culture. This is Middle Eastern village peasant life, okay? Different culture, Middle Eastern village peasant life. We don't know about that. No Middle Eastern village had this kind of music or anything close. Very different life. But for us to understand the story, we've got to begin to think the way they thought. And simply, you just need one thing, and that is this. They were dominated by a shame-honor paradigm. Everything related back to what was honorable and what was shameful. And they had a very, very clear, almost subconscious understanding of shame and honor. This is huge to them. You did what brought you honor. You never did what brought you shame. And by the way, if that was true in Middle Eastern peasant life, it was particularly true among the Pharisees and the scribes. Scribes, by the way,